The last time I talked to you, we were talking about the importance of marking Scripture so that you can better observe the Word of God and better understand the truth that you're reading. Now, in my Bible reading of the book of Ephesians, I had read the book many, many times. But there were things that really opened up to me that I'd never seen before as I began to mark it. And we're going to look at that in just a moment if you want to get your Bible and follow along with us. But before we get into the book of Ephesians, I want to give you one more fact concerning God the Father. We've talked about His omniscience. We've talked about His love for mankind and how that He is love, and the very revelation of love is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the revelation of God's love in human form. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever, and that means you and that means me, whoever is listening to this Bible study right now, this golden nugget of truth, beloved, the fact is God loves you with a love that seeks to draw you to Himself. You must make the choice. You must make the decision. But the Holy Spirit of God is the one who convicts of sin and opens our eyes to truth and helps us to realize the emptiness of our life without the Lord Jesus, and how that He alone can fill that void, that emptiness of our life. He alone can make our life worth living. So I do hope that you have opened your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, have received Him as your Savior, have accepted the fact that Christ died for your sin, that He was buried, that He arose the third day according to the Scriptures, victorious over death, over sin, over Hades, and that He lives today, seated at the right hand of God the Father, as the Word of God tells us, making intercessions for each child of God, and caring for those who do not know Him as Savior. Seeking, He sent the Holy Spirit. He asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit to convict any that are listening that know not Jesus. He convicts you. He's seeking to draw you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept Him as Savior. Then another wonderful fact about God's love is that Jesus is the physical revelation of God the Father. Now this is a wonderful truth. Over in the book of Colossians chapter 2, and verse 9, we read these words concerning Christ. Verse 10 speaks about Christ, and the Scripture continues, "For in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Now notice that, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, they are revealed physically through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the revelation of the fullness of the Godhead in physical form. Again, in John 1:18, we read, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." That word declared in the margin means led forth into full revelation. And that's what Jesus did. He came to reveal the Father to us in physical form, to teach us about the Father, to teach us about the Holy Spirit, for Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead manifested and revealed physically. Then again, in John 14:8-9, Philip was speaking to the Lord Jesus, one of the disciples, and he said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us, or we'll be satisfied." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" You see, beloved, Jesus is the physical manifestation of God the Father. 1 Timothy 3:16a states, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Now, a mystery is something that was previously hidden, but is now being revealed and made known. There's so many things in the Old Testament, so many instructions that God gave to Israel that they didn't understand the reason for it. They didn't understand the why of it. Such as, for instance, the offering of lambs. How many lambs were offered by the children of Israel in sacrifice for their sin? They didn't understand why they had to use a lamb, a special lamb, especially in the Passover. It was to be a lamb that was tested, a lamb that was tried for 4 days to make sure there was no blemish, no spot in it. It was a male of the first year. And there's so many beautiful pictures of Christ in that lamb. And the blood was taken and put across the doorpost, or on the doorpost and across the mantle, the top of the door. And all who were behind the door were safe from the death angel that passed through the land. A beautiful type and picture that was revealed in John 1. As John the Baptist introduced the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And when he said that, why, that rang a bell with all of the Jews that were there. They had all offered lambs in sacrifice for sin. And suddenly, John is telling them that Jesus is God's Lamb who came to earth to be offered as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. And that's exactly what happened. All the children of Israel, you recall, if you've read Exodus 12, all the children of Israel were to offer the lamb in sacrifice on the same evening. They were to sacrifice the lamb, and they were to take the lamb and partake of the lamb that night to eat of it. And the blood was to be applied that night, because that night the death angel passed through the land. And only those behind the blood, the firstborn, was protected from the death angel. And so, beloved, it's a beautiful picture of Christ who died for our sins and shed his blood. And that's why the scripture tells us the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And when we partake of the communion cup, we're thinking of the blood of Christ that was shed for our sin. And when we partake of the bread, we're thinking about the body of Christ that was offered for us. And so we see the beautiful types and pictures of the Old Testament. Remember, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, hidden, not fully known nor understood. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The New Testament opens up truth of the Old Testament that was hidden and was not understood, but now is being revealed. And so he says here in 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. This mystery about God. And then he says, God was manifest in the flesh. Yes, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit were revealed, manifest, shown forth through Jesus Christ, who took upon himself human flesh and walked here on earth among men. And so God was revealed and made known through the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1 and verse 1a, we read he's talking about God, God the Father. And in verse 2 we read, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he, God the Father, hath appointed heir of all things. God the Father appointed Christ heir of all things, by whom, by Christ, also he, God the Father, made the worlds. God the Father made the worlds through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we read in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He, the Lord Jesus, was before all things, and by him all things consist or hold together. And Ephesians tells us that God created the earth and the world through Christ. And so Christ is the one who did the actual creating, but he did it through the power of God the Father. And so we read here, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom, Jesus Christ, whom he, God the Father, hath appointed heir of all things. Christ is heir of all things. By whom, by Christ, also he, God the Father, made the worlds. There it is. By Christ, God the Father, made the worlds. Who, speaking of Christ, being the brightness of his, God the Father's, glory, and the express image of his, God the Father's, person. Christ is the express image of God the Father's person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, all things being upheld by the word of his power, when he, Christ, had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty, God the Father, on high. And so we see these beautiful truths as you mark your Bible. Now remember, previously, and so maybe I'd better tell you again, if this is a golden nugget, then you haven't heard any of the previous ones. A way I mark God the Father is with a triangle, a little small triangle right over the word God, and that represents God the Father. Now, if I'm representing the Trinity, I'll use a triangle in the margin, and I'll put the little letter T inside the triangle. That represents the Trinity. And so this is the way I mark God the Father. Jesus Christ, I underline the word Jesus Christ. I put a slant line after Christ going up with a cross member across the top of that, like a cross. It makes a cross. And that is the marking that I use for the Lord Jesus Christ. The marking for the Holy Spirit, I put a slant line before the name of the Holy Spirit, I underline the Holy Spirit, and then at the top of the slant line, I make some little circles like a cloud. That is, some little humps like a cloud. And that represents the Holy Spirit. And so if you will mark your Bible in with a special color for God, I use, for Christ, I use red to represent the blood of Christ. For God the Father, I usually use black. And for the Holy Spirit, I use red also. So you can mark it however you want to, but the purpose and the reason for marking it, beloved, and using these different markings is to make the Scripture stand out, to help you to understand who's speaking, who's this about, what is being said, and how is this going to refer and affect my life. And so the five W's, who, what, when, where, why, and an H for how, who, what, when, where, why, and how. And these different markings will help you to grasp the truth and to observe the truth. That's the first step in understanding the Scripture, is observing the truth. And that's why I encourage you to mark your Bible. It doesn't desecrate the Word of God. It doesn't in any way desecrate it. It makes it more meaningful. It brings out truth and makes you to observe truth and to see truth better. Now, if you'll go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, and I want you to notice with me here in Ephesians chapter 1, as we do some marking, it will help you to understand who is being spoken of here. Now, chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And I put a line under Jesus Christ, a red line with a slant line coming up over Christ, and a cross, made a cross out of it. And that represents Jesus Christ. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. And there I put God the Father. I put a triangle over the word God. To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now there's Christ Jesus again, and I circle that little word in, because that's where the child of God is. The child of God is in Christ Jesus. Yes, Christ Jesus lives in us through the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8:9 tells us. But we are also placed into Christ Jesus. And I think I've shared this truth with you before, but let's just do it again briefly in case you might have missed it. In chapter 1 of the book of John, John 1 and verse 12, we read concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He came unto his own, verse 11, Christ, the Lord Jesus, and you can mark it, underline it with a slant line, and a cross across it. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, how do we know this is Christ? Because John the Baptist is speaking about Christ, the Word. In verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, so forth, and all things were made by him. And in him was life, and the light of men. Christ is the light of the world, we're told in John. In other scriptures, verse 8, he was not that light, John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And we know that light is referring to Christ, John 8:12 and 9:5 and 12:46, all call Christ the light of the world. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That is, that makes man to realize he needs Christ. He needs the truth. There's that inborn in every man, that emptiness that makes man know he needs something, and that there is a power in the universe that's greater than man. That's the light that every man has. That's why many Satan tries to fill that void with false gods. And that's why there's many religions and many false religions that seek to keep men from the knowledge of the true and the living God and from the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. That is, that gives every man a realization there's some power in the universe greater than himself. And then we come to verse 11. He came unto his own, speaking of Christ, he came to the nation of Israel, and his own received him not. Israel rejected Christ. They put him to death, even as in the Passover. They put the lamb to death, the whole congregation of Israel. So, you recall when Jesus stood before Pilate, and the crowd cried out, "Let him be crucified." The crowd put him to death, representation of Israel, the nation who crucified the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the sins of the world. It was for the sins of the world. So we shouldn't hate the Jew, not at all, but love the Jew. For we're told that salvation is of the Jews. Salvation is of the nation of Israel. They were simply God's means by which Christ was crucified for the sins of all mankind, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Now this is what I want you to notice, which were born, not of blood. That is, not because our family, our parents were Christians, are we made Christians. No, it's not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Just because you join some church doesn't make you a child of God. There are churches that say that if you're not a member of our church, you're not going to heaven. Well, that's deception of Satan. That's not true. That's false. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And joining a church is not going to take you to heaven. And there are churches that say, well, we will put you out of the church if you don't keep our rules and laws. We'll put you out, and you'll go to hell. No, that's not true, beloved. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, and no flesh can send you to heaven nor take you out of heaven, nor of the will of man. You cannot save yourself. You cannot try to be good enough to get to heaven. Salvation is through Christ alone, and there's no other way. We're told in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so notice the last three words of verse 13, "but of God." This salvation is of God. He alone is the author of salvation, and he alone is the way of salvation. Now, if you would, go with me in your Bible to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want you to notice verse 30 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Well, let's look before that to verse 22. "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise." So he's speaking of God. And then in verse 30, but of him, speaking of God the Father, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. It's through the work of salvation that we are placed in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You see, beloved, our salvation's all of God. It's all of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of sin, and the one who comes into our spirit at salvation to do the work of salvation. John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, Jesus said, that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And so we see that God the Father is the one who places us in Christ Jesus. Back to Ephesians chapter 1. Grace be to you, verse 2, and peace from God our Father. And there again is a triangle I put over the word God. God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can underline the Lord Jesus Christ with a slant line coming back up toward the word of Christ and then across there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There again, you put a one of those triangles over the term God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now I want you to notice that. God the Father did this, beloved. You see, God the Father is very much involved in the life of every child of God. He's very much involved in your life and in mine. God the Father didn't just send Christ to the earth to die for our sins and then move away. No, God the Father loves you with the love of a father, and he is at work in your life through the Holy Spirit. For remember, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God the Father and the Spirit of Christ, as Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 tells us. And so we see, all spiritual blessings are ours in Christ. God the Father is the one who has given us all spiritual blessings that are already ours in Christ Jesus. All spiritual blessings. Now, beloved, I've mentioned to you before, I think, about a millionaire who's out on a street corner begging for money. And yet he has $1 million in the bank that he could draw on. And how many Christians are like that? How many Christians are struggling in their Christian life when they have the resources of God available to them to live in victory? Every one of us, beloved, can live victoriously through the resources that God the Father has given to us in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors, Romans 8 tells us, through Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. We have all these resources in Christ so that we can live as more than conquerors through Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. Verse 4 of Ephesians 1, according as he, speaking of God the Father, hath chosen us in him, in Christ. God the Father chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, God the Father, in love. You see, beloved, we can go right into the presence of God the Father now because Christ made the way. Remember, John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so Jesus Christ is the way into the presence of God the Father. But God the Father is very much involved in your life and in my life. Now notice verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, God the Father, according to the good pleasure of His, God the Father's, will. Now notice that. Mark these, beloved. It will help you to see and observe the text more fully and more completely. And so God the Father predestinated the believer to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, to God the Father. We've been adopted by God the Father through Jesus Christ. God the Father has chosen us through Jesus Christ, and He's predestinated us as believers to the adoption of children, so that we as believers have been adopted into the family of God. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, the grace of God the Father, wherein He, God the Father, hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in Christ Jesus. God the Father has made us accepted in Christ Jesus. Now, who is the Beloved? Matthew 3:17 tells us the Beloved is the Lord Jesus Christ. For God the Father spoke from heaven at the baptism of Christ and said, "This is my Beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The same is true in Mark 1 and verse 15. And also in Luke chapter 3 and verse 22, you find it repeated that Christ is the Beloved of God the Father. And so God the Father has made us accepted to Him and His holiness through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His glorious resurrection, so that we are accepted in Christ right now. There's nothing you have to do to be more accepted by the Father than you are right now. I am accepted fully and completely in Christ right now because of what Jesus did for me. Not because of anything I've done, but because of what Christ did for me. I am fully accepted in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful truth, beloved. What a wonderful nugget of truth. Don't you see how marking the Scripture opens up the nuggets of truth, opens up and unlocks the Word of God? Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, the grace of God the Father, the undeserved favor of God the Father, wherein He, God the Father, hath made us accepted in the Beloved. And I mark Beloved like I mark Christ, because that's who the Beloved is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse 7, in whom? In Christ. We have redemption through His blood. In Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The grace of God. Oh, beloved, how wonderful is God's grace, wherein He, verse 8, He, God the Father, hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, the will of God the Father. And so over His, over that pronoun, verse 8, He, that pronoun, I put a triangle, He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, the will of God the Father, according to His, God the Father's, good pleasure, which He, God the Father, hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He, God the Father, might gather together in one all things in Christ. Now you see, all of this scripture here is speaking about God the Father, and it's speaking about Christ, and how that Christ is the one through which we receive all of these glorious nuggets of truth, and through which all of these riches become ours. It's through Christ that God the Father has planned for you and for me. Do you see how much the Father loves you, beloved? Do you see how much, how important you and I are to God the Father? And how that He has predestinated us unto these glorious treasures, predetermined that these treasures should be ours through Christ, and receiving Christ as our Savior, and being born again. Oh, the beautiful truths that are being revealed here by marking the Scripture. It unlocks and opens up the truth of the Word of God more richly and more fully, and helps us to understand how much the Father, the love of our Heavenly Father, how much He loves you, how much He loves me. And that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, verse 10, this is the kingdom age. That is the dispensation. A dispensation is a period of time during which God deals with man in some special way. And so in the dispensation of the fullness of time, God the Father's going to gather together all things in Christ. Everything, all things are going to recognize that Christ is Lord. All human beings are going to recognize that He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He's coming to rule and reign here upon this earth for that 1,000-year millennial reign. And Christ will be the one around which it all will center. And this is the plan of God the Father, beloved. And this is part of what He has predestinated, predetermined, that will be fulfilled in the future for every child of God. Oh, how much the Father loves you and me, beloved, and how wonderful are these truths as we begin to mark the Scriptures, and as we begin to look at the context, how it begins to open up and illuminate our understanding and our comprehension, and begins to reveal to us truths that we've never seen before, that we've never really grasped before. I've read this passage over and over, and yet I always felt like there was something missing, and it was because I didn't mark the text. And therefore, I wasn't grasping how that this is a part of the Father's plan through Jesus Christ for you and for me. Oh, beloved, how rich is the Word of God, and how wonderful are the truths contained in the Scripture if you will mark the text for yourself and pull out these truths, these golden nuggets of truth. It will thrill your heart. It will thrill your soul and spirit. It will put you on shouting ground, beloved, so that you'll feel like shouting and praising the Lord and rejoicing in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher and the one who helps to illuminate the text and to open up the understanding of these glorious, wonderful passages of Scripture. And so we see that through God the Father, in His planning out our future, the future of the children of God, through Christ Jesus, these golden treasures of truth are made available to you and I. Now we're running out of time, but I hope you will go ahead and mark the scriptures for yourself. You'll be blessed by doing so. Until next time we have an opportunity to visit together, God